But when you, and some of you are looking at me like, what in the world are you talking about? But you have to adjust everything when you start having bifocals. We'll see how this adjusts out. But man, it's good to see you guys today. Thank you for braving the weather and coming and being here on this Sunday morning, the last Sunday of 2015. And what a privilege it is to be here. I was thinking as we were worshiping together how honored we are just to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen? I don't know about you, but I really, really appreciate the presence of God. I've said this so many times over the years, but you know, one of the things that you can just count on, he says it in his word, if two or three of you get together, I'll be there. I'll be there in your midst, right there with you. And we have God with us today. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen? So it's good to be here, and kind of feels at home a little bit. But I was telling Rena Peters before the service, I said, you know, we don't get to be here often, but we got to be here last Sunday and this Sunday and maybe one other Sunday during the year. But it really is an awesome privilege to be here. You know, over the last several weeks leading into Christmas, you guys, the pastor was preaching a series on the modern family. And he was talking about in this modern family, what does this ageless, timeless book have to speak to us about the real issues? And he talked about a lot of different things. Talked about children, talked about marriage, talked about family, talked about discipline, talked about money, talked about sex again. Didn't take the first time, so, you know, a lot of different subjects that were talked about. There's some great, great practical teaching that was part of that series. And one of the things that Becky and I typically, most Sundays, we're traveling somewhere across the state and preaching in a different church. And so most Sunday afternoons, we're driving back in, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock. And as we're driving back in, one of the things that we typically do is we'll listen to podcasts and we'll, as soon as the one pops up from Harvest, we'll listen in just to make sure that everything is going well and enjoy the message. We listen to every one of those sermons. And the word that I really believe God has put on my heart today, in one sense the word, could be almost like a capstone for that series. And I think it'll make sense as we get into it today. I would say to you this morning that for me, I thought about this last night. I'm not sure I've ever processed it in this fashion. But if I knew that I had one last opportunity to preach one sermon, one word, one message out of this book, and then my life would be over, it's the word that I want to share with you this morning. It's the word that I want to share with you this morning. A lot of truth in this book, but I really believe that God has this word for us. Some of you, how many of you have like life verses, portions of scripture that they're like an anchor for you? You know what I'm talking about? Life verses. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I love that myself. I would say to you that this word that I want to share with you this morning really would be, in one sense, the word my life sermon. If I had one word that God has just birthed in my heart that kind of everything revolves around, it would be this portion of Scripture. And I'm going to be in Joshua chapter 24 in just a few moments. But I want you to think about this for a moment, because one of the things that happens here at Harvest every Sunday morning, at the close of the service, your pastor stands here, and before he releases you to go, he proclaims the priestly blessing, or a portion of that taken from Numbers chapter 6, when he says to you, to us, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And then he says to you, Harvest, go be the church. Amen? And I was thinking about that last night, and that prayer, that priestly blessing, the Lord bless you. I'm not sure that we fully realize the impact of what is being said there. We're talking about blessing. We're really talking about a big deal. This whole idea of blessing is a huge subject. So when the priestly blessing says, the Lord bless you, what are the full implications of that? That really ties into what I want to talk about this today. The word that I want to share with you today is not, it really is not a, it's not a new word, it's not a new truth, but something that God really birthed in my heart, spoke to my heart about probably 18, 19 years ago when I was pastoring this church. And I've spoken on this subject coming from the right and the left and the top and the bottom from different angles over the years. I've spoken on it a lot of times. I've been exposed to this subject literally since before I was born. Before I had my first memories, before I spoke my first words, I benefited from it. Now, I obviously was not aware of that then, but I benefited from the truth that I want to talk to you about this morning. And that is, very simply, I want to talk to you about the subject of blessing, but more specifically, I want to talk to you about generational blessing. Generational blessing. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." I like that verse. The message says it like this: God's blessing makes life rich. Is there anybody here that understands the riches of God? God's blessing makes life rich. And if you dig into this book, one of the things you'll find is that blessing is a dominant theme in the Word of God. 18, 19 years ago, while pastoring this church, God began to deal with me on this subject, began to take me on a journey, began to stir my heart about preaching actually an entire series of sermons on that I at that time called Living Under the Cloud of God's Blessing. And as God began to deal with my heart about it, I must confess to you, I struggled to some degree because, first of all, many times people misunderstand this whole idea of blessing. And they somehow think that blessing always equates to the size of house that you live in or the car that you drive or how much money you have in the bank. And let me just tell you up front this morning that you cannot measure God's blessing. And the greatest bank in the world cannot hold God's blessing. But because of some of those extremes, I was struggling with this in my own spirit, and I sat down one day in the middle of my prayer as I was preparing to preach this series, and I keyed into my Bible programs the word bless, blessed, and blessing. And I just thought, I just want to find every scripture in the Bible where one of those three words are used. And wow, there were a bunch of them that popped up. And I thought, well, I'm going to print these out. I'm still kind of old school. I want to get it in my hand. And I was printing it out, and I punched print on the printer, and the printer started printing page after page after page after page. I'll never forget it. When it finally stopped, I was intrigued. I counted the pages, 8.5 by 11, top to bottom. I mean, filled with these verses, 42 pages. 467 references to Scripture. And I remember God speaking to me and saying to me, "Son, do you get it? I'm serious about this subject called blessing. This is who I am. This is my desire. I'm serious about blessing." And so from that point to this literally, you cut me open. I tell people all the time, I'm a pastor. Happen to be serving in an assignment in our network office, but I'm a pastor at heart. You cut me open, I bleed pastor. I was thinking last night, if you cut me open, I bleed the blessing. This whole idea of blessing is such a vital part of who we are, and I want to talk about generational blessing. The sad thing is that too many times, even in Christian circles, we are more familiar with generational curse than we are generational blessing. How many of you ever heard a sermon on generational curse? Have you heard sermons on generational? And by the way, the scripture deals with this. I'm going to talk about that just in passing in a moment. But the sad thing is that we tend to be more familiar with generational curse than we are generational blessing. Now let me just give you a few words of reference before we jump into this morning. I want to encourage you to hear this, receive this, listen to this. From where you are, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a parent, whether you're a single adult, whether you're whatever stage of life you happen to be in, listen and receive this word from where you are, because you can relate to this and you can apply this right where you are. I also want to challenge you, hear this very carefully. I want you to hear this word with a forward focus.
Sometimes we hear the Word of God and we have a tendency as the Word of God comes to us to look back and say, with all this regret, man, I wish I'd have done this different. I wish I'd have done this different. You can't go back and change any of that. But there's therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. So we hear this Word with a forward focus. Listen to it, receive it. I'm just telling you, if you'll receive it and apply it in your life, it will change your life. It'll change your family. It'll change your work environment. It'll change your environment. So I want to challenge you to go on this journey with me this morning as we explore this subject of generational blessing. Let me give you several scriptures. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. I won't read all of it. But here it says that the punishment for sin is to the third and fourth generation. That becomes kind of the foundation when we're dealing with generational curse, and that's a very real thing. Punishment for sin never stops with you. Punishment for sin is to the third and the fourth generation. There are implications of our sin. But the sad thing is that we stop reading right there. And that verse doesn't stop there. It says punishment for sin is to the third or the fourth generation, but love and blessing as an expression of that extends to 1,000 generations. I would submit to you that blessing is far more powerful than curse will ever be. And we need to act like we know that. Does that make sense? Blessing or love extends to 1,000 generations. Psalm 103, verse 17. I want you to see the theme here. His righteousness is with their children's children. The righteousness that God is producing in us is not designed to just be with us. His righteousness is with their children's children. I've got grandchildren who are here today who benefit from what God is doing in my life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse number 50, His mercy extends from generation to generation. I like that. You can go all the way through this book and you'll find that over and over and over again. The blessing of the Lord, the mercy of God, the righteousness of God that is designed to pass on. Now listen to this from Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. That is a marvelous, marvelous thing. Let me tell you, the blessing of the Lord, don't ever, ever, ever take it for granted. I will bless you, God says to Abram. And He says, I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I want you to see something here very quickly, because God says, I will bless you, but you will be a blessing. The blessing of God that comes into your life is never designed to stop with you. I want to let that soak in. We just open gifts. Jace asked us a little while ago, how many of you got what you wanted, everything you wanted for Christmas? We receive those gifts and we open them and they are mine. They belong to me. The blessing of the Lord is never designed to stop with you. The blessing is designed to come to you, but He says here, you will be a blessing. The blessing is not designed to hold. Blessing is designed to flow. Does that make sense? Blessing is designed to flow. I will bless you. Goes ahead. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. And whether you realize it or not, we sit here today on this last Sunday of 2015, and we are the recipients of the blessing that God spoke to Abram about thousands of years ago. That blessing just keeps on flowing. And as a matter of fact, it's kind of crazy when you think about it, because over the generations and the decades and the centuries that have come and gone, that blessing has flowed through some pretty rocky territory and through some pretty messy stuff. And yet we sit here today and we still are the beneficiaries of that blessing. I could stand here this morning, I could tell you, I'm a personal beneficiary of the blessing of the Lord. I told you earlier that influenced my life before I was even born, before I even had memories, before I had any reference point on this, the blessing of the Lord was there. But early in my life, I didn't fully recognize it then, but I recognize today the implications of blessing, because I had some godly grandparents on my mother's side of the family who
just loved God. They were just great, godly people. Wonderful, wonderful, godly people. They served God. They were faithful to God. They loved God. And from some of those early memories that I had, I loved it when my brother and I would have the opportunity to go and to spend the night with my grandparents. And that was that. But let me tell you, when grandchildren get to stay with grandparents, those are fun times. Those are fun times. Those are always an adventure. They really are. We love it when our grandkids come to see us. I loved it when my brother and I would be able to go and spend time there. And we would always go and we'd have all these crazy ideas. And I remember many times we'd go to bed at night and we'd be whispering to one another in the morning, we're going to get up early before anybody else gets up. And we're going to go out and we're going to have all this fun. And we would wake up the next morning, what we thought was early, you know, probably 7:30 or something like that. And we would be sneaking out the door. I remember so many times cracking open the door, and every single time we would think we were the first ones up, and there would be my grandfather sitting in his rocking chair with his Bible open before him, just spending time with God. My grandfather was never a preacher, never taught a Sunday school class, couldn't play the trumpet like Jeff, wasn't musical. Didn't have any of those things going for him, but from those earliest memories, one of the things that I knew it before I knew it. Does that make sense? It got into my spirit before I even understood what was getting into my spirit, that my grandmother and my grandfather were in a relationship with God. And because of that relationship with God, that influenced my life. It influenced my life. It influences me yet to this day. I'm the beneficiary of that. They were individuals that every time the doors were open, they were in church. You know what I'm talking about? The little church. They were charter members of First Assembly of God in Louisville, Texas. That little church was a long rectangular building, had two rows of old wooden pews and a hardwood floor. And my grandparents had their spot. It was on the second row right behind. It would be, if these were the two, Clyde, it would have been right behind you. Second row right there. If the doors were open, they were there. You know what I'm talking about? And I saw that. I saw my grandfather, my grandmother with their Bible in their hand. I saw them in church. I saw them worshiping God. I was exposed to that in their lives. And then, of course, I had the incredible blessing of growing up in my own household and with my mom and my dad. And I remember the day that my father accepted the Lord when I was just a little boy. And they went into the ministry and we went on this incredible journey that I didn't always understand as a little boy growing up. But I'm just here to tell you that I stand here today as the beneficiary of generational blessing. I'm absolutely convinced today of the power of blessing, of the benefits of blessing, and of the realities of generational blessing. But if it's generational, the question is, how do we pass it on? How does it happen? What does it look like? I mean, if we could get a little practical instruction here, what kind of practical instruction would there be? Is there something besides sitting in a rocking chair with a Bible in your hand? Is there something besides sitting on a church pew Sunday after Sunday, week after week, year after year? Yeah, I believe that there is. And Joshua understood this in Joshua chapter 24. When Joshua came to that place in his life after leading the Israelites for all these years, and he's giving a farewell address. This is his last message to the Israelites. I said earlier, if I had one opportunity to declare one word, this would be my word. This was the word that Joshua had. Listen to it in Joshua 24, beginning in verse 13. God says to Joshua, I gave you, listen to this very carefully, I gave you lands you had not worked on, towns you did not build, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. In other words, God is saying, I have blessed you. I have blessed you. Now, if you do a study, I don't have time to really go into this morning. You do a study on blessing in the Word of God, you will find that there are basically two different kinds of blessing that are described in the Word of God. One of those is simply, I would call, grace blessing.
that you had nothing to do with it. You don't deserve it, whether you deserve it or not. It's just like God just shows up and says, I'm going to grace you. I'm going to bless you. You didn't do anything to deserve this. But the vast majority of blessings in the Word of God are conditional blessings. If you will, you'll find this over and over again. If you do this, then I will. If you will, then I will. That's the tithe principle that Jace talked to us a little bit about a few moments ago. The conditional blessing. But he says here, I have blessed you with things that you didn't build, you didn't deserve, none of that, but I have blessed you. Now, fear the Lord. And serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving him seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want us to make that statement. I want us to make that declaration this morning. Would you make it with me? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know there's not very many of us this morning, but I think we can do better than that. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How do you pass that on? I think from Joshua's word, we can pull several things. First of all, he said, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. If you want to pass on generational blessing, fear the Lord. In other words, don't play games with God. The most important thing in your life and my life is our relationship with God. Nothing. There have been a lot of things that try to crowd in on that, and we deal with it all the time. But if generational blessing is going to be passed on, we need to understand the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 28:14, blessed is the man who always fears the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 120, my flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. Hebrews chapter 11, Noah in holy fear built an ark to save his family. We're not talking about being afraid of God. We're not talking about being intimidated by God, but we're talking about a holy fear. I believe that one of the greatest needs that the church in America today needs, that we need, is simply a revival of the fear of the Lord. Let me tell you, the fear of the Lord will change the way you look at this book. The fear of the Lord will change the way you respond to the Word of God as it speaks to our hearts. It'll change the way we respond to the gentle promptings of the Holy Spirit. It'll change everything about us because the fear of the Lord brings us into that holy awe and reverence that we are individuals who desperately need God, and God loves us so much, but we walk and we live in the fear of the Lord, and we live our lives with stewardship. We steward our lives based on the fear of the Lord. I understand that I'm going to stand before God someday, and I'll be held accountable for the decisions that I've made and the choices that I've made and the relationships that I've had and the priorities that I've had. Let me tell you, when I understand that, it puts things in right perspective. He said, if you want to pass on generational blessing, fear the Lord. The second thing that Joshua says there is serve him with all faithfulness. Serve him with all faithfulness. In other words, practice devotion and consistency. I recognize faithfulness as, you know, faithfulness is just doesn't have that zing to it that maybe things like charisma has and things of that nature. But there's nothing that will take the place of simple faithfulness. Faithfulness, doing what God has called us to do. Faithful in the house of God. Faithful in serving. Faithful in worship. Faithful to God's house. Faithful in stewardship. When we drove in this morning and there were sidewalks that were already being shoveled, that's faithful. When I walked back through the building and there were workers that were preparing for children's ministry, that's faithful. When I walked in this morning and the music was playing, that's faithful. When you walk in and things are happening, that's faithful. Faithful in serving God. All of that's just right here at church. But I'm talking about faithfulness in everything that we do. There's a message of a song that simply says, Jesus, I'll do what you say. That's faithfulness. That's what faithfulness is at the end of the day. I'll do it on Sunday. I'll do it on Monday. I'll do it on Wednesday. I'll do it at 6 a.m. and I'll do it at 11 p.m. I will do what you say, not on and off and in and out, but I will be faithful. I told you a little bit about my grandfather. Incredible, incredible servant of God. Not an individual who would impress perhaps anyone, but faithful. I remember early one morning when my grandfather was like 94 years old, the phone rang at our house, and my mom said, Mike, I need to let you know that Papa passed away. And obviously, that was a sad day, and we talked a little bit more, and she said, Mike, do you think that you might be able to preach Papa's funeral? I said, wow, what an honor. I'd love to. I said, I don't know if I can do it, but I'll do my best. I said, the only thing I want, bring me Papa's Bible. I don't have my grandfather's Bible, but I do have my father's Bible with me today. If I tried to open it up, it would fall apart. And this was a lot like my grandfather's Bible. I didn't have to look for something to preach at Papa's funeral because all I had to do was open it up. And when I opened it up, I mean, there's scriptures that were underlined just like this Bible. I mean, there are places where tears dropped from his face as he sat in that rocking chair and he just spent time with God, and tears dropped from his face onto the pages of that Bible and the scriptures that were underlined. I mean, all of that. I mean, I felt like I was in the presence of majesty in every sense of the word as I stood there and I was able to simply preach my grandfather's funeral. I couldn't begin to do the job that I needed to, but that day was a very special day to me. And I remember after the service, someone came to me, and they said, I want to show you something. And it took me over to where my grandfather and grandmother always sat in church. They said, I want to show you something. Now, to set this up, you got to really understand this. My grandfather was a little short, fat guy. When I say little short, I'm talking short. When he sat down on the church pew, his feet just barely touched the floor. Okay? Barely touched the floor. And in those days, we didn't do like we do today. In those days, we didn't stand for all the worship. We sat for a lot of the worship. Some of you don't remember that, but a few of you may remember that. We sat for a lot of the worship. And so during the worship, one of the things that would happen, didn't even know it. My grandfather didn't think about this. It wasn't in his mind. It wasn't a plan. But what had happened over the years, but Sunday after Sunday, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, I'm talking for a long, long time, they had sat right there in that spot. And when the songs would begin to be sung, we do things, don't we? When the songs begin to be sung, I mean, you know, some people we pat our foot. Some people we may pat our leg. Well, my grandfather, one of the things he would do, he would swing his little short legs there, and they would just barely touch the floor. And they took me over. I'll never forget. They took me over, and they said, look, there's this spot on the floor where all the finish is worn off of the hardwood floor. And you know, the maintenance man would go by and say, man, I tell you, we got a problem there. Something's going on. I mean, we got to repair that. But that individual said, you need to look at this because that is a testimony to the faithfulness of your grandfather week after week, month after month, decade after decade, simply being faithful to God. My question to you, my question to me today, what kind of fruit are we leaving around? What kind of signs are we leaving? What kind of markers are we leaving for those around us that would declare to the people that are paying attention to us, they would look at us and they would say, that man, that woman, that young person is faithful. Joshua says, serve him with all faithfulness. And then he says, throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped. In other words, to make a total break with the world. Let me just tell you right up front this morning. You don't dance with the world and pass on generational blessing. You don't dance with the world and pass on generational blessing. That's not a statement about dancing. That's not a statement about those things. But let me tell you, Joshua said, you're going to have to throw away the things
that the gods that your forefathers worshipped, there's some things in your life that if you try to carry them with you, it will keep you from passing on generational blessing. The very desires of your heart, you will find they fall by the wayside because you're not making a break with those things that you need to make a break from. There's no place for hypocrisy. We've got to make a decision. This is who we are. This is who we serve. And what this speaks of is the integrity of Christ's followers. That we say that we are Christians. We say that we are Christ's followers. So our lives have got to be such that the way we walk, the way we live, the way we interface with one another, the way we process things is different than anyone else. That there's integrity to our Christianity. One of the great hindrances, the great things that we deal with all the time within the church, it's always been there. When you invite certain people to church, they'll say to you, no, I don't want to go to church because there are too many hypocrites. They're seeing a gap between what they say and what they do, and they're seeing that there. Joshua is saying, throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped. Let me just remind us today, your family, your children, your neighbor, your coworker. We're not just talking about generational blessing for your physical, biological children and grandchildren, but everyone that you're around, they need to be able to look at you and not have to look for it, but they see there's something different about that individual. And if they can't say this about us, then they're not going to be the beneficiaries of what God wants to flow through us. Make a total break with the world. Curse does not reproduce blessing. The fourth thing that Joshua says here, he says, choose for yourself who you're going to serve. Choose who you're going to serve. And he talks about choices. The nice thing when I preached on this 18, 19 years ago, I had a whole series, so I could just, I could just preach a sermon on choices and a sermon on every one of these. Today it's just kind of crammed all in there together. But he talked about the importance of choices. You see, the choices of our lives, life is made up of choices, and we've got to consider the impact of those choices. The choices that you're making are never just about you. Every choice you make, someone is watching you. Someone is listening to you. Someone is paying attention to you. Someone is following you. Your choices and my choices, they're a reflection of our values. Just follow a person around. It doesn't take long to figure out where their values are. Pay attention to their choices. And you'll understand their values. Your choices determine your destiny. If you want to see where is a person going, pay attention to their choices today, and that's a prelude to their destiny down the road. The choices that we make impact others. They are never, ever, ever just about us. Every time I think about choices, my mind goes back to about, 16 years ago, something like that. It was the weekend when Jason and Lisa were getting married. It was the first wedding in our family. It was a big deal. The whole Dickinson clan showed up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, which was a little bit like a foreign country to us growing up in Oklahoma. And we went to Baton Rouge for the wedding, and we were there, and we got there, and, it was all exciting, and everyone was looking forward to it, and just, all of the excitement that went along with that weekend, and the ladies, they jumped, just right into all of the wedding plans, the flowers and the decorations and the preparation, and there were a lot of things that were taking place, but all the kids got bored pretty quick, which children tend to do, and wasn't long until the children were saying, we want to do something. And it doesn't take long for, the father's words to them that would say, this is Jason and Lisa's wedding. This is what it's all about. We don't care about Jason and Lisa's wedding. All we want to do, we just want to have some fun. And I remember them somehow they'd figured out just across the parking lot from the little hotel where we were staying, there was this little theme park. It had a game room, and they had spotted that. They said, could we go over there?
So finally, the kids wore us down, and we said, okay, we'll do it. My brother Hal, some of you know Hal, my youngest brother Tim, most of you don't know, but Tim and his wife, they had three little girls. And so the whole gang of us started to walk across the parking lot. And as we're walking across the parking lot, Tim's youngest little girl, Jordan, at that time was probably 3 years old. Just picture this in your mind, just a cute little girl hanging onto her father's hand, walking across the parking lot, just, we're going to the game room, we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're just all talking. I mean, all the kids are there, I mean, they're all talking, having a lot of fun, and as we're walking along, all of a sudden, little Jordan kind of clears her throat, and she spits this wad of saliva out. And I don't know why it struck me the way it did, but I have a weird sense of humor anyway. But I looked at her and I said, Jordan, honey, where in the world did you learn to spit like that? She squared her shoulders, as a little three-year-old girl will do sometimes. She said, my daddy taught me how to spit. And my mind went on this journey. How does that happen? How does that happen? Now hang with me just for a moment, but my mind just went somewhere. It probably didn't have any business going, but it just went there. But I all of a sudden, I could imagine little Jordan as a little two-year-old. And she sees her big sisters that as they're walking along, they just, and they spit. And boy, they can do it really well. And she tries to do it, and it doesn't work. And she goes to her dad, and she says, Dad, why is it that Lauren knows how to spit, and Karen knows how to spit, but I don't know how to spit like that? And I can almost hear my little brother saying to her, well, Jordan, honey, you're too young for that, but someday, Daddy will teach you how to spit. I can see that little girl continuing to grow and from time to time coming and pestering her daddy. Daddy, come on now. I mean, I'm almost 3 years old. Surely you can teach me how to spit today. I mean, surely today. No, honey, there will come a time. And in my mind, I finally come to this place, that on a, perhaps on a Saturday morning, little Jordan's laying in her bed, sound asleep, just dreaming away. And all of a sudden, Tim walks in, her father, kneels down by her bedside and says, Jordan, honey, wake up. Jordan's trying to wake up. Tim says, Jordan, today's the day. Day for what? Today's the day I'm going to teach you how to spit. And the little girl jumps up out of bed. It's just me and you, honey. Other sister's not going with us. We're going to go to the park. I'm going to teach you how to spit. Let's stop by McDonald's on the way. What do you want this morning? And they finally get to the park, and they walk out to a specific place, a secluded place. And I can almost see my brother saying, now honey, if you're going to spit like a Dickinson spits, you got to pucker up just right. You got to do all these things. Like this, Daddy? No, not like that. We can stop this right now, because all of us recognize none of that had to happen. Little Jordan didn't have to ask. Her daddy didn't have to wake her up on a Saturday morning. They didn't have to go to a park. They didn't have to do any of that. When that little girl squared her shoulders and looked at me and said to me, my daddy taught me how. The only thing that had to happen was that her father made an unconscious, subconscious choice while walking around to simply spit a few times. But that little girl saw that, and she caught on to that. And here's a little girl that's saying, I know how to spit because Daddy taught me how to spit. Choose you this day who you'll serve. I cannot overemphasize this morning. We laugh about this. We have fun with this. I cannot overemphasize this. Every parent who's ever raised a child has found yourself at times regretting things that you've said or done, because it's really crazy how, isn't it amazing how that the children pick up our bad habits faster than they pick up our good habits? Isn't that right? And it happens not with our children, not just with our children, but with others as well. Choose who you will serve. Think about your choices. Let me pause just for a moment. I said earlier, listen to this word with a forward focus. Whatever you do, some of you are listening right now, and I will tell you, the enemy sees this as an opportune time to somehow bring into your memory some really bad choices that you've made in the past that you regret, and you regret because you see the implications of that. Do not live in condemnation today over those things. If you have repented of them, if you have given them to God, they are under the blood of Jesus. You can count on God's love and God's grace to cover you, but we've got to think about choices as we look to the future. And then finally he says this, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Fear the Lord. Serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away those gods, those gods that you've been worshiping. Make a break with the world. Choose who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What is he saying there? Reject the curse, choose blessing. Reject the curse, choose blessing. One of the things that you and I will need to do throughout our lives from the early days of our childhood until our last breath is breathed, reject the curse, choose blessing. Choose blessing. Choose blessing. Choose blessing. The Bible talks about the fact, I lay before you life and death. Choose life. Well, this is choose blessing. There's the intentionality. I really want us to see the intentionality of this. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will. If I had a glass of water and I handed it to Becky right now and said, honey, would you just begin to pass that glass of water all around across this building to every person? Let me tell you, if that glass of water made it from Becky over here to way over here, maybe up in the balcony, without some of it being spilled, it will be because there's a lot of intentionality. We pay attention to that, don't we? Because every one of us have spilled glasses of water. We didn't intend to. But if you're going to pass it, if you're going to pass it effectively, there has to be intentionality for there. And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me go back very quickly in closing. Hebrews chapter 11 is a marvelous picture of this. Hebrews chapter 11, I quoted this verse earlier. It says that Noah, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. If time permitted, we could walk through some really interesting segments of this, but I want you to catch this morning. But Noah didn't just build an ark. Noah, in holy fear, built an ark. And the result of that was the saving of his family. Think about this project, a 100-year building program. Anyone who has ever built anything understands that building programs can drag out. Can you imagine a 100-year building program? Get beyond the fact that God comes knocking on Noah's door and says, hey, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Get beyond the conversation of ark, what's that? What's it look like? How are we going to do all this? Get beyond all of that, and let's just jump right into the construction project. I tell people all the time, one of my favorite parts of building programs is groundbreaking. Groundbreaking, just turn over a few shovels of dirt. It's always exciting. I actually love it when the first walls go up on a house or something. Those are neat times. But if you get in the middle of a building program, especially a significant building program, it gets old. Can you imagine a 100-year building program? Do you think there were days that Noah didn't feel like going to work? Do you think there were days when Noah said, you know what, my back's really hurting today? Do you think there were days when, as he wrapped his hand around that hammer, that his hands hurt, there were blisters? Do you think there were days that he just wanted to throw in the towel and say, you know what, I can't do this. I'm not getting any help. I've called for volunteers and they're not showing up. Do you think he might have had
of a day like that? But he did it day after day, week after week, year after year, for 100 years. 100 years. I can't wrap my mind around that. And finally, after the building project, 100-year building project takes place with the aches and the pains and the bruises and the blood and the sweat and the tears and everything that's there, God comes along and says, okay, Noah, get all the animals. He gives them instruction there, and get your family and bring them into the ark. And he brought his family into the ark. I don't know if he fully comprehended everything that's happening as he pulls his family into the ark. He calls his sons by name and his sons' wives, and they come into the ark and they close the door, and then the flood takes place. The ark was not a Holiday Inn Express. The ark didn't smell very good. The ark was not a nice, peaceful, quiet place. Can you imagine all the noise and all the stench of all the animals and all the stuff? But there in that ark, all during the flood, day after day after day. But you want to see the payoff? Let me tell you, if you'll get a handle on generational blessing, the payday is better than anything that you could ever, ever imagine in any part of your life. You want to see the payday? Go to Genesis chapter 8, verse number 18. God says, okay, Noah, it's time to come out. All of creation has been destroyed. Every other man, woman, boy, and girl has been destroyed, has been lost. Think about all the potential in every one of those little boys and those little girls, those children, those individuals, all the potential, what might have been that has been lost. And God says, open the door to the ark. And they open the door. And the Bible says in Matthew, in Genesis 8, 18, so Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. They came out together. They came out together. I can't prove this, obviously, but I'm just telling you in my heart and in my mind, I don't just see them coming out. I see them coming out holding hands, standing together in amazement. Wow, this is unbelievable. And they came out together, Noah and his sons and his wife and their wives, over a year after the flood began. And then Noah, in verse number 20, he gathers his family on this little hillside. The Bible says that Noah built an altar. Noah built an altar. We don't know everything that's taking place there. It's easy to get distracted. I can almost see some of Noah's sons. You know, they're older by now. They're married. But I can almost see some of them saying, wow, look over there. Look over there. Let me go check this out. No, guys. Hang in right here. We're going to build an altar to the Lord, because we're going to acknowledge that this did not happen by accident. And they worship God. And in Genesis chapter 9, verse number 1, you find this phrase, then God blessed Noah and his sons. Did his sons build the ark? No. Did his sons really even deserve any of this? No, not really. But because of Noah's fear of the Lord and Noah's faithfulness and Noah being righteous when nobody else was righteous, then God blessed Noah and his sons. I'm telling you this morning, this thing called generational blessing, what you need to do is to take everything that was preached and taught in the Modern Family series, whether it's discipline or marriage or family or finance or sex or whatever, wrap it up in generational blessing. If we do it the way God tells us to do it, the dividends will blow your mind. I want you to stand with me this morning. I'll tell you what I want to do. There's not a lot of us, so we can do this pretty easy this morning. I want to ask every person in this room, if you're up in the balcony, you have to take a few more steps, but you're going to have to come down to go home anyway. I want every person in this building who would say, you know what? I want my life to be characterized by generational blessing. In the workplace, in the marriage, in the home, with my my children, every dimension. If you would simply say, I want my life, I want this thing called generational blessing. If that's you, I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come join me right down here at the front. I just want us to fill this front with people who would simply say, that's what I want. I want you to sign me up. I was thinking about it last night. Let me tell you, when my life comes to an end, let me just make this statement. If my life comes to an end, if the rapture doesn't take place, I live my life, I breathe my last breath, and my life comes to an end, I want people to be able to look at my life and say, you know what? When I got around him, I picked up on the fragrance of blessing. Does that make sense? When we had a conversation, there were words of blessing. When we wrestled with issues, even when we had to work through messy stuff, and life will take you through some pretty messy stuff, I want people to be able to say, even through the messy stuff, even when things didn't make sense, and even when they were having to solve issues or whatever, the blessing of the Lord was there. I want that for my life. I want that to be my legacy. Does that make sense? My greatest desire is not to, it's not about stuff. I want my grandchildren more than anything else to figure out. Oh, I know they're just like me. When they're 3 or 4 or 5, they don't fully understand it. But I want the lights to come on before they even realize the lights are coming on, just like they did for me. And I want them someday to be able to look and say, well, my grandfather understood the blessing of the Lord. I want the people that I work with, I mean that, I want the people that I work with, I want them to see blessing. I think that's God's plan. Are you with me this morning? I think that's God's plan. God's plan is not just that he would bless you and so that you could, he just bless you and you just feel real good, you know, and have all these emotional feelings. No. It's much deeper than that. You see, generational blessing. Some of us stand here this morning and we're the recipients of, in fact, all of us are to some degree because you go back all the way back to Abram. But for some of us, we have to really scratch and claw because some of us, we don't have the story that I have. And I recognize that. Not trying to make anyone better, anyone worse. Please don't misunderstand that. But I am here to tell you today that regardless of your background and of your history and of your family, the key to generational blessing starts with you. It's one of the reasons I love for young people to hear this. I preached essentially, it was a little different, but I preached essentially this message in our Bible college a few years ago. I told him, I said, man, can you imagine if you get this when you're 18 or 19 years old and you don't wait until you're 60? It's a lot better. It's a lot better. But it starts with you. It starts with you. Fear the Lord. My prayer for us this morning as we pray in a moment is that God will give us just a fresh revelation of the fear of the Lord. Let me tell you, the fear of the Lord will cause you to stop those words before they come out of your mouth. And it'll make a difference in your marriage. Are you with me this morning? The fear of the Lord will enable you to portray godly wisdom in the raising of those children or in the interaction with those co-workers. Serve him with all faithfulness. Let me tell you guys, we're not doing it for the church. We're not doing it for the pastor. We're not doing it for the people. We're doing it for God. Amen? And the last time I checked, I told someone this the other day. Last time I checked, there's no place in Scripture where God says, well done, you successful servant. No. Well done, good and faithful servant. He simply calls us to be faithful. Be faithful to give a hug to that little child. Be faithful to be an example to those young people, those children. Throw away those gods that your forefathers worshiped. Some of us in here this morning, God really spoke to this to me last night. We're going to pray over this in a moment. But for some of us right here at this altar this morning, if you want to pass on generational blessing, some of us need to leave some stuff here. We need to make a break. We need to make a break. God, I'm not going to embrace that anymore. I'm not going to allow that anymore. I'm not going to leave room for that in my mind. I'm not going to leave room for that in my heart. I'm not going to leave room for that in my family. I'm going to make a break with some things. If that's you, when we pray in a moment, let me tell you, God's going to help you to do that. But you're going to have to do it with the fear of the Lord every day, because tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and there's going to be maybe that tendency to pick it back up. But let me tell you what the fear of the Lord will do. The fear of the Lord will put that in proper perspective. This is not some game that we're playing now. This is for real. Make the right choices. It's not about spitting, but it's about everything that we do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Could we just make that statement one more time before we pray? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What does that mean to you? What does that mean in your house, on your job, in your neighborhood, in your family, with your children, with whoever? God, give us grandparents in the church who maybe don't have grandchildren in the church, but will be a great grandfather or great grandmother to those little kids. I was walking around this morning, and Jeff, I was walking out in the foyer. I was going to get ready to go up to the sound booth, and I was walking along, and all of a sudden, Jeff's little boy, he saw me there. He didn't know me, and I didn't know him, but he saw me, and he had an eye looking up those stairs, and he kind of reached out his hand, and I reached out to him, and he took my finger, just wrapped it around it, and then he wanted to go up the stairs, and we walked up the stairs together. Could I tell you, there's some kids that all they need is somebody that understands generational blessing, that'll just be that hand. Let them wrap their hand around your finger and just walk up the stairs or kneel with them. Does that make sense? That makes sense. I didn't do anything special, but he sure thought I did something special because we got to go up the stairs. I want us to pray. I want us to pray. Why don't you bow your heads right now? Every one of you are here because you're saying, I really want this thing called generational blessing. But there's some of you that you need to make a break with some things. Let me tell you, the strongholds of the enemy don't need to be some huge stranglehold. It can be little stuff. The Bible talks about the fact that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. There's some of you this morning, I mentioned a moment ago, you need to leave some things. You need to make a break with some things. And I don't know what that is. It may be in your own heart, your own mind, with your actions, your habits, whatever it might be. But I want to pray especially for you this morning. If that's you, and again, doesn't really matter. No, there's no judgment here at all. But if that's you and you just say, you know what, I just want to be clear about this. There really are some things. God's dealing with me, speaking to me, reminding me of some things this morning I need to make a break with as we go forward. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand really quickly? Nobody's looking around. Thank you so much. How many others? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let me tell you, God's going to give you, if you'll allow God, God will give you strength. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. You can put your hands down. I want to pray over you this morning. Would you pray with me? Would you make a commitment to generational blessing? If your family's not here today, would you find a time before the day's over to gather your family around together and pray with them and have a conversation with them about generational blessing? Would you do that before you put the kids to sleep tonight? Would you get with your spouse? Koa and Judah spent most of a week with us a couple of weeks ago when the baby was being born. One of the things I love to do when we put them to bed at night, Grandma tells all the stories and does all that kind of stuff. But I love simply going into them, laying my hand upon their head and saying, Koa, I bless you. May the blessing of the Lord be upon you. He doesn't understand all of that. But let me just tell you, the blessing of the Lord is powerful. And then to go to Judah and do the same thing. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for this amazing, incredible gift that you give to us in the form of blessing. God, I thank you, Lord, that you've reminded of this of us today, God. And God, you've quickened our hearts and you've given us some practical instruction. And God, today we commit ourselves to this. God, every man in this room, God, help us to be the priest of the home. Lord, for those that are single, God, may we someday find ourselves, Lord, as the providing that priestly oversight and leadership within the home. Lord, I pray for every woman in this building, God, that you will cause us to be, Lord, to walk with the fragrance of the blessing of the Lord and to portray that in everything that we do. And God, for those of us who are standing here who would say, boy, there's some of those things that just keep standing in my way and keep standing in my way. God, we take authority over those right now in Jesus' name. I break the curse and I speak blessing. I break the curse and I speak blessing. I break the curse and I speak blessing in Jesus' name. I speak blessing over marriages where the enemy would bring curse. I speak peace over homes where the enemy would speak confusion and distortion. God, I pray the blessing of the Lord. God, I pray that you will help us. God, bless us in our homes. Bless us in our marriages. Bless us in our families. Bless us on our jobs. Bless us in our schools. Bless us in our neighborhoods. Bless us in every relationship. I pray the blessing of the Lord over every single person here today. And God, as we close this service, I pray that we will leave this place as people who are the carriers of generational blessing. In Jesus' name. So now, may the Lord bless you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace now and forevermore. Harvest, go be the church. Amen. God bless you. Let's give God praise. You're dismissed.